This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of glenohumeral internal rotation deficit, otherwise known as GERD, from the shoulder and elbow section on orthobullets.com. Let's start this episode with a quick summary. Glenohumeral internal rotation deficit, or GERD, is a condition resulting in the loss of internal rotation of the glenohumeral joint as compared to the contralateral shoulder, most commonly seen in the throwing athlete. Diagnosis is made clinically with a decrease in internal rotation, increase in external rotation with a decrease in total arc of rotation compared to the contralateral shoulder. Treatment consists of physical therapy with a focus on posteroinferior capsular stretching. Now, let's get into the episode. With respect to epidemiology, in terms of demographics of GERD, this occurs primarily in overhead athletes and is often seen in pitchers. Moving on to the etiology, with respect to pathophysiology, the mechanism of GERD is caused by repetitive throwing and is thought to occur during the late cocking and early acceleration phase. As far as the pathoanatomy of GERD, this is caused by tightening of the posterior capsule or posterior inferior capsule that leads to translation of the humeral head. This is what's known as a capsular constraint mechanism. The translation of the humeral head is in the opposite direction from the area of capsular tightening. Know that posterior capsular tightness leads to anterosuperior translation of the humeral head in flexion, and posteroinferior capsular tightness leads to posteroSuperior translation of the humeral head in the ABR or abduction and external rotation position. Finally, know that the pathoanatomy of GERD also involves the anterior capsule being stretched. Associated conditions with GERD include glenohumeral instability, internal impingement, which involves abutment of the greater tuberosity against the posteroSuperior glenoid during abduction and external rotation that leads to pinching of the posteroSuperior rotator cuff. Another associated condition includes articular-sided partial rotator cuff tears, which involves tensile failure in excessive rotation, as well as internal impingement. Finally, another associated condition with GERD includes slap lesions, and know that throwers with GERD are 25% more likely to have a slap lesion. This occurs secondary to the peel-back mechanism, where the biceps anchor and posteroSuperior labrum peels back during late cocking because of posteroSuperior translation of the humeral head and change in the biceps vector force posteriorly. As far as relevant anatomy, be sure to listen to the podcast episode about glenohumeral joint anatomy and biomechanics to review the anatomy of the glenohumeral joint. Moving on to the presentation of GERD, symptoms include vague shoulder pain. However, sometimes it may be painless, and patients may report a decrease in throwing performance. On physical exam, it's important to stabilize the scapula to obtain a true measure of glenohumeral rotation. You may find an increased sulcus sign due to stretching of the anterior structures that resist external rotation, such as the coracohumeral ligament and the rotator interval. Know that GERD is characterized by altered glenohumeral range of motion, that is, decrease in internal rotation and increase in external rotation. If the GERD, that is loss of internal rotation, is less than external rotation gain, the shoulder maintains normal kinematics. If the GERD exceeds external rotation gain, this leads to deranged kinematics. Know that decrease in internal rotation is usually greater than a 25-degree difference as compared to the non-throwing shoulder. Moving on to imaging, recommended views on radiographs include an AP and lateral of the glenohumeral joint. Findings are usually normal. A CT scan in the setting of GERD may show increased glenoid retroversion. Finally, with respect to MRI, know that an ABR view or an abduction and external rotation view on MRI can show associated lesions. Treatment of glenohumeral internal rotation deficit can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes rest from throwing and physical therapy for 6 months, which is indicated as first line of treatment. Physical therapy involves posterior inferior capsular stretching, specifically a sleeper stretch, which is performed with internal rotation stretching at 90 degrees abduction with scapular stabilization. Another type of posterior inferior capsular stretching includes the rollover sleeper stretch, in which the arm is flexed 60 degrees and the body is rolled forward 30 degrees. Other ways to stretch the posterior inferior capsule includes the doorway stretch and a crossbody adduction stretch. Physical therapy will also include pectoralis minor stretching, as well as rotator cuff and periscapular strengthening. In terms of outcomes, know that 90% of young throwers respond to sleeper stretches / physical therapy. 10% of older throwers, however, do not respond and will need arthroscopic release eventually. Operative options include posterior inferior capsular release versus anterior stabilization, which is only indicated if extensive physical therapy fails. Now, let's go over posterior capsular release versus anterior stabilization in a bit more detail. So some surgeons advocate posterior capsular release while others advocate anterior stabilization. Be sure to repair a thinned rotator cuff if significantly thinned, that is, a transcuff or takedown and repair. The technique is somewhat controversial. So for a throwing athlete with posterior inferior capsular contracture, you will release the posterior inferior capsule and posterior band of the IGHL. Electrocautery is inserted through the posterior portal and the camera from the anterior portal. This is done from the 9 to 6 o'clock position at the level of the glenoid rim, and this is done until the rotator cuff fibers behind the capsule can be seen from within the joint. You will then insert the arthroscopic shaver to widen the gap in the capsule, which prevents recurrence. Finally, the gentle manipulation at the end completes release of any remaining fibers, maximizes internal rotation and flexion. As far as results, patients will immediately gain 65 degrees of internal rotation postoperatively. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. First question. A 20-year-old male college-level thrower complains of chronic right shoulder pain and has been prescribed formal physical therapy with stretches consisting of laying in the lateral position on the affected side with the arm forward flexed to 90 degrees, elbow flexed 90 degrees, and pushing the ipsilateral forearm towards the table. What is the correct diagnosis and the associated physical examination finding? And the choices are 1. Adhesive capsulitis and greater than 25 degrees decrease in affected shoulder internal rotation compared to the contralateral shoulder. 2. Glenohumeral internal rotation deficit, or GERD, and greater than 25 degrees decrease in the affected shoulder internal rotation compared to the contralateral shoulder. 3. Posterior labral tear, and less than 15 degrees decrease in the affected shoulder internal rotation compared to the contralateral shoulder. 4. Adhesive capsulitis, and less than 15 degrees decrease in the affected shoulder internal rotation compared to the contralateral shoulder. And 5, glenohumeral internal rotation deficit, or GERD, and less than 15 degrees decrease in the affected shoulder internal rotation compared to the contralateral shoulder. The correct answer to this question is 2, glenohumeral internal rotation deficit, or GERD, and greater than 25 degrees decrease in the affected shoulder internal rotation compared to the contralateral shoulder. So the patient has glenohumeral internal rotation deficit, or GERD, which is a condition usually seen in throwing athletes that is characterized by a decrease in internal rotation of 25 degrees or more of the affected shoulder compared to the contralateral side. To quickly review, in patients with GERD, initial treatment consists of rest from throwing as well as posterior capsular stretching. The sleeper stretch is a common way to stretch the posterior capsule. The stretch is performed in a lateral position on the table on the affected side with your arm forward flexed 90 degrees, elbow flexed 90 degrees, and pushing the ipsilateral forearm towards the table, which increases shoulder internal rotation. The majority of patients with GERD respond positively to sleeper stretches with arthroscopic posterior capsular release or anterior stabilization only indicated for failure of non-operative management. Wilk et al. Describe in a review article a multi-phase rehabilitation and exercise program that restores shoulder range of motion, strength, and endurance, allowing for an early return to unrestricted sporting activity. They recommend that when true posterior capsular tightness is present, posterior mobilization efforts including sleeper stretches should be utilized to increase the pliability of the posterior capsule. Braun et al. Report in a review on shoulder injuries in the throwing athlete that the majority will respond to rehabilitation programs that emphasize stretching of the tight posterior capsule. In those patients unresponsive to conservative management, especially the older elite throwers, they recommend selective arthroscopic posterior inferior capsulotomy. To quickly go over the incorrect answers, answers 1 and 4, adhesive capsulitis, is incorrect, as adhesive capsulitis is characterized by global, active, and passive range of motion loss in the shoulder and is not limited to internal rotation. Answer 3, posterior labral tear, is incorrect, as posterior labral tears manifest as posterior instability. Finally, answer 5, GERD and a less than 15 degree decrease in the affected shoulder internal rotation compared to the contralateral shoulder is incorrect, as clinically relevant GERD classically manifests with internal rotation deficits of at least 25 degrees, with some studies demonstrating deficits of up to 50 degrees. And moving on to the final question. A 19-year-old right-hand dominant collegiate pitcher presents for worsening right shoulder pain and decreased velocity. On physical exam, he has decreased internal rotation but increased external rotation on his right compared to the left side. He has pain and tenderness over his coracoid. An MRI arthrogram is performed and is normal. Which of the following is the next best step in management? And the choices are 1. Weighted ball throwing program. 2. Subacromial steroid injection. 3. Arthroscopic biceps tenodesis and subacromial decompression. 4, arthroscopic capsular release, and 5, pectoralis minor stretching and sleeper stretches. The correct answer to this question is 5, pectoralis minor stretching and sleeper stretches. So the best treatment for overhead athletes with glenohumeral internal rotation deficit, or GERD, is periscapular muscle stretching, specifically the pectoralis minor, and posterior capsular stretching with sleeper stretches. To quickly review, GERD in overhead throwing athletes can lead to sport-specific limitation and significant pain. The most effective first-line treatment includes stretching of the posterior capsule and periscapular muscles. These patients may develop what's known as six scapular syndrome, where six stands for scapular malposition, inferior medial border prominence, coracoid pain and malposition, and dyskinesis of scapular movement. The pectoralis minor tendon can contract secondary to scapular malpositioning, leading to significant tendonitis and pain. Tyler et al. Studied 22 patients with internal impingement to see if improvements in GERD or posterior shoulder tightness was associated with a decrease in symptoms. They found a greater improvement of posterior shoulder tightness in patients with full resolution of their symptoms compared to patients with residual symptoms. They concluded that improvement in symptoms of internal impingement after physical therapy is related to an improvement in posterior shoulder tightness and not improvements in GERD. Kibler et al. Described an approach to shoulder rehabilitation that integrates a physiologic and biomechanical framework of the kinetic chain model. They discuss a proximal to distal segment kinetic chain model for the throwing athlete. They state that scapular control coupled with rotator cuff activation is vital for normal shoulder function. To quickly go over the incorrect answers, answer 1, weighted ball throwing program is incorrect, as this would not afford the proper stretching and scapular stabilizing exercises and may actually worsen symptoms. Answer 2, subacromial steroid injection is incorrect, as although a steroid would be an eventual option, it would not be the first line of treatment for GERD. And finally, answer 3, arthroscopic biceps tenodesis and subacromial decompression, and answer 4, arthroscopic capsular release are both incorrect, as any arthroscopic procedure for GERD should be reserved for extremely severe cases, as patients often improve with the proper rehab programs alone. That's all for this review about glenohumeral internal rotation deficit, or GERD. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Also, if you aren't already, be sure to follow OrthoBullets on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for daily high-yield content. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.